Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us, and we're going to be having an interesting show today. We're going to be talking about furloughs, the debt limit ceiling, and what it means to you. And these are very interesting times, and as you well know, if you've been keeping score. And this is also going to be the Mike's and Steve show. I'm going to be talking with Mike McDonald, and our other guests are Steve Watkins and Steve Losey from the Federal Times. So everybody who's not named Mike or Steve, please leave the room, if you will. Mike McDonald, are you with us?
I am with you, Mike.
Mike, thank you for coming on today. I should explain that Mike is, tell me if I got this wrong, you're Executive Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association?
That is a little incorrect, though. I am a Regional Vice President with the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
Okay, and your region happens to be the Washington area, huh?
Well, my region, I represent basically the non-controller employees.
Right.
And so my region actually is the whole United States.
Okay. All right.
So mostly all FAA field facilities.
Now, I understand you have some time on your hands.
I do have some time on my hands since midnight Friday, yes.
Okay. You're one of the, is it 4,000 that have been furloughed?
4,000, yes, from the FAA, yep.
And about 1,000 in the Washington area?
I don't know what the overall number is. I think, roughly 1,000 is the number.
Seems like it was 1,006 or something like that.
Yeah, 1,016 is the number the FAA uses.
1,016, right. Okay. And these are, you are an engineer by trade, right?
That is correct.
And the other large numbers of people that have been furloughed are, what are they?
There's a large number of engineers. There's the airports folks are engineers, planners, administrative types. We have aviation technical system specialists, staffers and that kind of thing.
Right, and you were furloughed because of a congressional budget dispute that's really it's unrelated to the debt ceiling, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so you're furloughed, and Steve Watkins and Steve Losey are here, and they're going to join in too. You're furloughed. You are actually a furloughed human being that we're talking to right now. Are you going to get paid when you come back?
Well, that's a very good question and one that has not yet been answered. It's my understanding that in all previous furloughs that anybody can recall, that employees had been paid for the time that they were sent home. But, you know, it's a very strange period in our history right now. So there are no guarantees for that. That's scary.
As I understand it, too, in past furloughs, contractors generally were not paid by their employers. If you don't work, you don't work.
Right. I'm not sure about that.
How about benefits? Does your health insurance continue? Is there a cutoff?
My understanding of that is that that our health benefits will be continued to be paid. The agency will continue to make their contribution. They will also advance employees for the employee's share for up to a year is the way I understand that works.
Okay.
And then when you come back to work, they will then kind of like take out two of your contributions each pay period until you're caught up.
And I wonder about, and I know this is esoteric stuff, about things like the thrift savings plan. Yeah, if you're not working and not getting paid, obviously you're not going to make any contributions. But I wonder if the matching government contribution would continue to be made. Have they gotten into that with you?
No. In fact, I don't remember. The FAA has published some questions and answers, and I don't recall seeing that particular one. So I'm not sure about that.
I don't believe so. My understanding is if people aren't getting paid, they're not getting their contributions.
Okay, that would make some sense. You know, if they've got to be a matching contribution.
But then there is the 1% that everybody gets anyway. I wonder how that would be affected.
Yeah. Well, there's just so many things involved in this. So what? I'm sure you're talking with your members. What are you hearing from them? Are they angry? Are they stunned?
They're frustrated. You know, they're frustrated that they're. You know, we all see ourselves as pawns in a game that's being played by people, you know, that just don't understand the impacts. You know, myself personally, I have a mortgage and two kids in college, a car payment, and it's a scary time. And that's typical of what our membership is. you know. So everybody has this is scared. You know, they're afraid of what could happen, and we're frustrated. We're just, you know, through no fault of our own, we're sitting. The members are sitting at home, trying to figure out what to do next.
I got an email Monday from an employee who does not work for the FAA, but she is a Fed, but she's not with the FAA. But she said she works with you guys, the 4,000 of you that have been furloughed, mm-hmm. and that it's impacted their workload. There's a ripple effect to this.
Well, there is, the construction projects that are stopping. They're all across the country. I don't think that they've really quantified the number of people that have actually been sent home. It's happening. The FAA has released a list. I think some other folks have been tracking this. There's hundreds, literally hundreds of projects that have been stopped, and people, you know, the people that were working those people are also being sent home. And that's going to be kind of a lagging effect. You know, the people aren't going to really notice that right away. They see the 4,000 FAA people that are furloughed, but there is an effect that's in every community that where projects have been stopped.
I think we had a microphone malfunction here a while ago. Steve, you were saying something about the thrift savings plan.
Yeah, my understanding is that if you're not getting paid, you don't get the contributions. So it looks to me like during this furlough period, FAA employees will not get to get their regular contributions to the thrift
savings. So your understanding is the furloughed people won't be able to make their contributions to the TSP, and therefore they won't get the matching funds.
That's right.
Mike McDonald, how good a job has FAA done in briefing you people about what this furlough is all about? You said that there was a Q&A out there.
On their website, up until that point, I mean, everybody was kind of in a state of flux. So, you know, prior to Friday, I don't recall a lot of information passing hands other than, you know, a message from the administrator. The FAA does have a website, and they are updating the website, so that is good. But otherwise, you know, my members are telling me that really the only information they're getting is the stuff that I am forwarding to them. You know, there's not a whole lot of talk about this because, it's just overcome by the whole debt ceiling crisis.
Well, my feeling is, too, that probably a lot of people, when they found out that the air traffic controllers are not involved and they won't, the flying public won't be personally inconvenienced or, we're told, put in any danger, that this is sort of on the back burner compared to other things.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's all part of our frustration, right? Is that people are still going to the airport, they're getting on their airplanes, and they're flying, and they don't notice that this is taking place in the background. So there's no pain for the flying public, so to speak, which scares us even more, because this could go on for who knows how long as there's no hue and cry, with the members of Congress.
And what is the issue? Why are you guys on a furlough?
That's the complicated piece. I let the leadership try to explain that better, but you know, the short story is they just can't agree on an extension right now for FAA reauthorization.
And it has to do with fees that are collected from the airlines and distributed to different communities.
Well, yeah, technically, I guess they don't have the authority to collect the funds to put into the aviation trust fund. That's the technical piece of that. So the 4,000 people that are furloughed, they derive their salaries from the aviation trust fund, not from the general fund.
Okay, so you guys are kind of a profit making organization in one sense.
Or
self sustaining.
No, I would never call it that. We're part of the me personally, and most of the engineers that I represent are part of the facilities and equipment, or the F&E budget, and then our airports people, whom NATCA also represents, they're paid out of the AIP appropriation.
Okay,
which gets its money again from the aviation.
Thank you, Mike McDonald, for being on it, and not don't mean to be flippant, but enjoy your time off if you have been furloughed. We'll be right back. We'll be talking with Steve, the two Steves from the Federal Times. We'll be right back here on your turn.
Okay, thank you.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
Schneider Electric has a proven 100-year-long record of supporting federal agencies to help you meet your responsibilities to mandates, missions, and taxpayers by combining the expertise of brands you know and trust, like Square D, APC, and Pelco, to make your energy safe, reliable, efficient, productive, and green. When it comes to power, process and machine, IT room, building, and security management, Schneider Electric's your energy expert and green partner for a sustainable and prosperous future. Visit Schneider-Electric.us.
You may have a big heart, but do you have a strong heart? Balanced nutrition and exercise with regular checkups help build a strong heart. A strong, healthy heart lets you share your big heart with those you love.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Make healthy choices to maintain a strong heart. Eat lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and stay active by biking or walking 5 days a week.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Defense Department has already started real-world testing on iPhones and iPads to see if they can handle data securely. Next up is the Android platform. A team at the Defense Information Systems Agency has sent DoD leaders an implementation guide for how Android smartphones can be locked down to secure information. When it's approved, they'll be able to pilot test Android devices in a military environment. To do that, engineers have to be able to disable cameras, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and other features.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology, and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
In an era of fiscal constraint marked by shrinking budgets and increasing demands on services, how are local government executives leveraging innovation, common sense, and technology to make a real difference? What is New York City doing to innovatively deliver health and human services? Join host Michael Keegan as he discusses New York City's efforts with Linda Gibbs, Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services of the City of New York. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
My family struggled, and it was assumed that while I would go to college, I would have to pay for it myself.
Charlie wasn't sure how to get the money she needed for college. Then she found out about federal student aid and the FAFSA.
I don't think I quite realized what a huge deal actually graduating was. Federal student aid definitely made that happen.
Need help planning and paying for college? Find out more at college.gov.
My name is Charlie, and this is my story.
Welcome back to Your Turn, Mike Causey. We just finished talking with Mike McDonald from the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and he's not only a regional official, but he is on furlough. He's one of the 4,000 people who've been furloughed. So if you have friends with the FAA, or if you're worried about what might happen to you during a furlough. A lot of information there. We are archived on the homepage, so you can listen anytime. My guests in studio are Steve Watkins and Steve Losey from the Federal Times. The two Steves are regulars here. Delighted to have them because you guys cover the government like a blanket, and I know your people are everywhere. How about an overview of what you're looking at now and what you've been working on the last week?
Yeah, sure, Mike. Well, obviously the FAA furlough is big on our radar as well. We've been tracking that since before it happened, and that's a lesser known symptom of a lot of the dysfunction we've been seeing in recent months on Capitol Hill. But obviously the big story that everyone's tracking is the debt ceiling talks, what's happening there. Obviously there's a lot of consequence for your listeners and our readers, the federal community, retired and active, and the military community, as well as the contractor community. So the implications there are huge. In addition, we're looking at the Thrift Savings Plan. Steve Losey covered their budget meeting, and there's some question as to whether the funds that they've budgeted for next year are going to pan out, and those are important because those are going to fund some of the big overhauls and reforms that they're planning with the TSP, such as adding a Roth option. Obviously, the big news that happened yesterday, we've been tracking this for quite a while, is the post office is looking to close something like 3,600 post offices across the country, possibly thousands, even tens of thousands more over the next decade. 80%, we had a story way back about 80% of post offices across the country lose money. So they're taking a close look at those. And then we had an interesting story yesterday that went up on GSA employees. Just when you think it can't get worse, they're going to be stuck with thousands of dollars annually in parking fees that they didn't have to pay, and those are going to kick in as early as next week, August 1st. So that's going to be a huge dent for their paychecks.
I saw the story, but I didn't look at the numbers. Are they talking about making them pay commercial fees or commercial rates, or is it a lesser amount?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if it's if these are commercial rates or not, but even if it's a lesser amount, it's still a lot for these federal employees, and I'll just run down the list. But if for those working at GSA headquarters, they're going to be paid, they're going to have to pay $3,024 a year. That's $252 a month, which is pretty hefty. $1,800 a year at the Crystal Plaza office, $6,240 a year for those working at the Ronald Reagan Building, and a couple other spots in the D.C. area where they're going to have to pay somewhere between $2,000 and $3,000. So it's going to be a significant dent in their paychecks.
Well, and I would think as GSA goes, so goes the government, huh?
Well, that's the thing, and we're going to be watching that quite closely. GSA is taking this step because basically they want to encourage their employees to take mass transit. It's a green government initiative. It's not they don't even defend it on cost grounds or budget grounds. It's strictly just to lower the greenhouse gas emission for the agency. And I can easily see some other agencies following suit.
I wonder if the top officials of GSA and other agencies, if they will be exempt from this or if they'll have to pay it.
I can't imagine that they would be exempt. The other thing is GSA is probably more than any other agency really touting its role in becoming what they call a net zero agency. That is, not producing more greenhouse gas emissions than they generate. Now, how they're going to generate them, I guess they're going to have to use renewable energy and so forth, but that's the goal.
Well, one of the big flaps, and of course you say this is an ecological thing, or that's the way they're painting it, but one of the big things during the Carter administration, people were literally marching in the streets and the White House was picketed when they decided to charge federal workers half of the commercial rate. And bus people were bussed in from NIH and all that, and they rescinded their order. So, but this one is cloaked under a different, more politically correct avenue.
Yeah, well, a lot of these GSA buildings are near metro stations, so that's the good news. There are options for those employees Presumably there are some who have to drive for various reasons and they're just going to be stuck. But, you know, you think about the impact of this. Like all federal employees, they're undergoing a two-year pay freeze, and they've got some, you know, everybody's looking down the barrel right now to some likely cuts in retirement, health care, and possibly locality pay.
And on the other side of that, many federal workers are eligible. I may not get it, but they're eligible for a transit subsidy. Is it up to $230 a month?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So this is a real carrot and stick thing, at least for GSA people, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. It's okay. We'll be interested in to track this quite closely because I do see some other agencies. You know, when it comes to cutting budgets, that's an easy one.
You guys were here when we talked with Mike McDonald of the FAA, who has been one of the people furloughed, and he's the head of that region of the NATCA. What happens to people when they get furloughed? I mean, we haven't had this much, but in the past, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, they have gotten back pay.
That's right. They have in the past, but it's anybody's guess this time. And basically, the government is under no obligation to pay you if you don't come to work, even if it's not your fault. During the shutdowns, during the Clinton years, when Clinton and Gingrich were having their showdown, Congress later went back and made those employees whole. Now, they are, as I said, they're under no obligation to do so, and the budget environment is obviously extraordinarily different now than it was, you know, 16 some years ago. So if I were these FAA employees, I would not count on getting reimbursed for this time.
That's interesting. And even back in the earlier this year when we were looking at widespread furloughs, the same thing was being said, is that while it happened in the past, given the mood of the Congress and lots of parts of the media, these stories we've seen, there's no guarantee people are going to get paid. And in fact, some in Congress might consider this the furlough that they had planned anyhow. You know, mm-hmm. They were talking about up to 10 days, you know, one day a month or something like that. And they could say, well, we've accomplished that and done it.
Yeah, and I would add, if I were a furloughed FAA employee, I would be extremely nervous right now because I don't see where the light at the end of the tunnel is here. Maybe Congress will strike a deal, but the way that Congress has been acting lately, it's been completely dysfunctional. There are two factors that, to me, spell out a long-term furlough here, and I hope I'm wrong. But one is this is well under this is not only a secondary back burner, but a way, way back burner to the debt ceiling thing. So there's absolutely no pressure really to resolve this. Everyone's attention is focused on the debt ceiling. The other is there, as Mike said, there really is no visible impact to the traveling public from this. So there's no public outrage.
Yeah, you made a good point. You literally used the radar analogy, but you said on your radar you've been looking at this, and this is not on the public radar because it doesn't affect the traveling public, at least so far.
Now, interestingly, this is also resulting in $200 million in ticket tax revenue that is not coming into the government. So the government is actually losing a lot of money on this, $200 million a week. So,
well, I got an email from someone this morning, and he said he hadn't seen any of this discussed in the mainstream media, maybe some of the trade journals, but the fact that can federal workers who are on furlough apply for unemployment? If so, and if they qualify, this money comes from the states, presumably. Mm-hmm. So an area like Virginia and Maryland, even though the numbers are only 4,000 nationwide, given the revenue shortfall in all these places, adding a large number of federal workers and contractors to the unemployment rolls could be financially disastrous. We need to take a break, but I want to ask you to continue with that when we come back here on your turn.
Here's Doug Roseborough, Chief Technology Officer, FAA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Emerging Technology, sponsored by Riverbed Technology.
I think with cloud computing that you'll see more use of thin clients as far as desktops are concerned, that a lot of the applications and data that are on desktops will be moved to the cloud.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How would you like to increase the productivity of your mobile and teleworkers? Now you can, through Riverbed. Their WAN optimization solutions empower mobile workers with high-performance access to email, files, and applications and keep them collaborating in real time. Challenges and delays in working remotely suddenly disappear, and you're complying with telework and COOP mandates. Free your mobile workers to work anywhere with Riverbed. Learn more at riverbed.com. That's R-I-V-E-R-B-E-D.com. Riverbed. Think fast.
Tune in to Fed Central, dedicated to sharing insights and best practices on topics ranging from cybersecurity to sustainability to healthcare reform. Hear straight talk from government leaders and industry specialists on the issues that are shaping how agencies serve their mission and their constituents. Hosted by veteran broadcaster Jane Norris. Don't miss Fed Central on the 3rd of August at 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Sponsored by Deloitte.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth that airs every Saturday at 10 AM here on Federal News Radio. Join me this week for my special guest, Hal Young, certified valuation analyst and expert in business valuations. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
This week's Kaiser Permanente Experts in Health topic is cervical cancer screening, featuring Dr. Farzaneh Sabi, an obstetrician gynecologist with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group.
Cervical cancer is a preventable and curable disease when detected early. Since there usually are no signs of infection or early cervical cancer, screening is critical to timely detection. Starting at age 21, women should start receiving Pap tests. Pap tests are very effective at finding abnormal cells before they turn into cervical cancer. Women aged 30 to 65 should have a Pap test and a high-risk HPV test at least every 3 years. When an HPV infection doesn't go away on its own, it can lead to cervical cancer. Research suggests that these screening tests, along with appropriate treatment, can reduce cervical cancer cases and deaths by as much as 90%. Kaiser Permanente encourages you to see your doctor and get screened for cervical cancer. It can save your life. Be well and thrive.
To learn more about Kaiser Permanente's experts in health, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Timing Babies. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicola Scarlo with HHS HealthBeat. For all the joy of being a mom, giving birth takes a toll on the mother's body, which may need time to recover before having another baby. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Naomi Tepper is an OBGYN physician.
It's very important for women to wait after they have a baby before getting pregnant again.
Tepper says women could have anemia and the next baby could be smaller than he or she should be or be born preterm. And women who have cesarean sections could have serious complications. Tepper says women can talk with their healthcare providers about specific conditions and how long they might need to wait. An article on pregnancy planning is in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. I'm talking with Steve Watkins and Steve Losey of the Federal Times. And we're getting into this furlough thing and the complexities of the FAA situation because since they are funded in the 4,000 that have been furloughed are funded in part by fees being collected, it is very possible that Congress might just say, well, normally we do give people back pay when they've been furloughed through no fault of their own, but we're just going to let them eat this. And you're not confident that this is going to be over with soon.
No, not really. As Steve was saying, there's the debt ceiling is really just sucking up all oxygen on Capitol Hill. Everything, practically everything that's going on right now has to do with the debt ceiling. And because the general public isn't really seeing a significant impact, there's not that kind of pressure that is being put on lawmakers to resolve this FAA issue.
It's not like Social Security checks maybe not going out.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Talking about the debt ceiling and the balance of power seems to have shifted. At one point, it was a Republican budget. Then it was the bipartisan commission that President Obama appointed. Then it was another group that's come up with its set of recommendations. And then you have the Biden group now, headed by Vice President Biden, which some people seem to think is generating a lot of the ideas for this. I'm still getting emails from people, and they are mostly concerned about the possibility of switching the retirement formula from the high 3-year average salary to the high 5. And yet you guys have said all along that's hardly out there, huh?
Well, last week it started to – some of these proposals like hard and fast – well, not hard and fast, but proposals started to bubble up from okay. Capitol Hill. The union started to be notified from lawmakers such as Chris Van Hollen and House Speaker John Boehner that when it looked like there was going to be a deal last mm-hmm. week. Now, obviously, we know that went down in flames. But here's what the deal was as of last week. The unions were being told that new federal employees, as part of a debt reduction deal, new federal employees would have to pay roughly 6% or so, maybe 5.5%, maybe 6% contribution rates for their FERS defined benefit pension, as opposed to the 0.8% that federal employees pay now. Now, for current federal employees, both FERS and CSRS, they'd have an uptick of about 0.5 percentage point per year for 3 years as soon as the pay freeze ends. So that would mean FERS employees would pay roughly 2.3%, CSRS employees would probably pay about 8.5%, and there was also talk about throwing the high five in for good measure.
As well as a third year of the freeze.
Well, yeah, that was part of Coburn's plan. Mm-hmm. It's possible that a third year of a freeze may have been part of that deal. That was a little fuzzy.
Right.
But yeah, a third year of the freeze is definitely still on the table.
That's really one of those good news, bad news mixed things. The good news is the new tax or the new payment wouldn't start until the freeze was over. The bad news is the freeze is going to go on.
Yeah, that's cold comfort.
Yeah. How about the chained COLA? Would you explain that and how serious it may be?
Yeah. Now the way cost of living adjustments are set now for federal retirees' pensions is with the what's called the CPIW, which tracks the changes in prices for food, clothing, electronics, all the things that we buy on, you know, more or less a daily or weekly basis. Now they track that and see how much the prices go up and use that to help set the COLA. The problem with that is it doesn't take into account the fact that if, say, the cost of apples goes up, you may buy a cheaper kind of apple, maybe a Golden Delicious instead of a Granny Smith or something like that. And that kind of substitution, when you take that into account, reflects in a lower inflationary increase. That is called the so-called chain CPI takes that into account. It results in roughly a 0.25 percentage point lower inflationary increase. Now, that's going to translate to, you know, several hundred or several thousand dollars less per year for many federal retirees, and it compounds over the years. So it's going to mean a lot of less money. Now, this chain CPI deal is starting to gain a lot of traction. It seems every plan that is put forth these days includes a shift to the chain CPI, and what the unions were being told last week was the chain CPI was going to be part of a deficit reduction deal. So ever since President Obama a couple of weeks ago expressed some openness reportedly to changes in the way future Social Security benefits are calculated, which translated means to change CPI, this has really gained traction for federal employees as well.
Well, and of course, the biggie is it would cover military retired pay, presumably, and Social Security.
That's right.
Which is where the big savings would come.
That's right.
And so if you're looking at under the current system, let's assume you get a 3% cost of living adjustment every year. It hasn't been that way in the past 2 years, but it's looking like 3.2, 3.3 for January of 2012. If the change CPI were in effect and they were using that calculation, instead of getting, say, 3%, because my math is so terrible, they might, in fact, get 2.5%. The new inflation rate would reflect that. And if that happened every year, if you got, what is it? I'm sorry, 0.25%. If you got that much less each year, it wouldn't have the reverse compounding effect. And as you say, over a lifetime of collecting benefits, that's a significant amount of money that people wouldn't be getting.
That's right. You know, I crunched some numbers just for just for modeling purposes. I went back and I looked at the numbers for the change CPI going back the last decade and calculated them. And CSRS employees, if the change CPI was in effect over the last decade, they'd earn almost $4,000 less when all is said and done. For retirees, because it's calculated differently, they'd earn about $2,600 less when all is said and done. So we're talking several thousand dollars.
That's over a 10-year period?
Yeah, roughly 10%, 10-year period.
That's a good way to do it, because that's reality. You're mm-hmm. showing what it was and what it would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so the whatever agreement they finally come up with on this debt limit, and they've got to settle this someday. They've mm-hmm. got it maybe sooner rather than later. You think a significant number of hits, if you will, on federal workers in retirement. Oh, I know the other one I wanted to ask you about was the higher health premiums. Has that gone away, the changing the share of the amount that employees pay each year?
That's still bubbling in bubbling up behind the scenes. It hasn't been switching the FEHBP to a so-called premium support system, or basically kind of a voucher sort of plan. It's not in every plan proposal that I've seen coming out, but it does come up from time to time. And I'd say probably 50-50 chance that a premium support plan is part of whatever deal they end up coming up with. Now, basically, that would give federal employees a fixed amount and that they would use to pay for their health insurance, and they'd have to cover everything else. That amount would only increase by the amount of the gross domestic product plus one percentage point per year. And this would switch, kind of gradually shift the costs for to federal employees over a series of many years. The Simpson-Bowles report said this could save $18 billion through 2020, but NARF said that this could mean that federal employees pay more than half of the premium costs by 2020. So that would mean some serious take a serious bite out of the pocketbooks of many federal employees.
50% by NARF's estimate, and now they're paying about 30%.
Yeah, yeah.
So and that's 50% of a much bigger figure too.
Absolutely,
the way
yeah,
the rates are
yeah,
going.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess one of the things that would do, and this may be the purpose behind it, it would drive them into lower premium health plans, which may or may not be as good.
Yeah, that's one of the goals of such a premium support plan, is to hold down healthcare costs by giving you a financial incentive to switch to a cheaper plan.
I noticed the latest interesting piece about federal workers was the one that was in the front page of USA Today, and I meant to ask you about it mm-hmm. last week when it was more current. But it said that in a selected number of federal agencies, they looked at the firing rate and that you were more likely to die maybe at your desk.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about that when we come back, if we survive this break. Be right back here on your turn.
Are your business's online activities, networks, and information secure? Bolster your organization's cyber defenses by attending the Department of Homeland Security's G1st conference in Nashville, August 7th through 12th. The nation's premier cybersecurity forum allows government and industry leaders to share cutting-edge cybersecurity solutions. G1st is free, so register today at uscert.gov. That's uscert.gov. Remember, cybersecurity is our shared responsibility.
Facing a new day, delivering services efficiently, improving citizens' lives. Booz Allen Hamilton supports the most important challenges of government, from defense and economic security to health and cyber solutions. Booz Allen's strategy and technology consultants partner with clients to deliver results that endure. Whether managing today's issues or looking beyond the horizon, clients can count on Booz Allen to help them be ready for what's next. BoozAllen.com/ready for what's next. The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
The FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com takes a look at the issues surrounding cloud computing through the eyes of those who are using it every day. We'll share with you the challenges, opportunities, and lessons learned from some of the top minds in the world of federal IT. Collaborate with others and help shape the discussion on cloud computing at the FedCloud blog on federalnewsradio.com or follow the FedCloud blog on Twitter. The FedCloud blog is sponsored by Cisco and Intel.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language, with no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills? You'd have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612 and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
Could switching to GEICO really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Can you find anything on the internet? Well, I'm sure you can, but don't take my word for it. Just ask this talking dog who can only say, "I love you." Roll the clip. One more time, talking dog.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Tradition never graduates. So make plans with family and friends to spend fall Saturdays in Annapolis with Navy football. Order your season tickets today. Join us at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium for a game day atmosphere like no other. The best way to ensure tickets to all our games, including Delaware and Air Force, is to become a season ticket holder. Get the best seats now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
This is Mark Amtower. I've been advising contractors for almost 30 years, and when they need agency contacts, I always recommend Carroll's GovSearch. With over 350,000 contact listings and over 1,000 government organization charts, they help you find the people you need to reach in all levels of government. Give them a try. Get a free organization chart and a sample listing from their database. Contact Gordon Peel at 703-757-8228. Carroll Publishing, bringing government to you like no other.
Hey, thanks for sticking around. Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Steve Losey and Steve Watkins of the Federal Times, and been sort of running through the furlough possibilities. I want to ask you about buyouts before we fade away here. But we had a call during the break, and a woman wanted to know if they do the switch from the high three to the high five, and something that's been proposed for years is always on a money-saving list. If they did it, and calculated your retirement annuity based on the high five, would it be backdated? Would it be for date of enactment? Would it be in the future? And of course, we obviously don't know, but before we get to that, that's a thing that's way down on the list as far as you know, right?
Yeah, it's not something that would produce a great amount of savings. We're talking for the high three to high five. We're talking maybe a few hundred dollars in savings for each from each federal employee. So it's something that is kind of secondary in a lot of lawmakers' mind to this idea of making employees contribute a lot more to their defined benefit. That having been said, as far as the how it would be enacted, it's a little hard to say because there haven't been specific proposals, formal legislative proposals yet. We're going to have to wait and see. However, I imagine that, you know, it wouldn't kind of take effect, you know, boom, right away. There might be a little bit of period, maybe next year or so, before it does start to take effect. So it wouldn't be like a federal employee wakes up, you know, next Tuesday and, oh no, it's a high five. There would be a little time, but we'll definitely be keeping you all informed about the progress of this and how quickly this might be phased in when it does become.
One other thing on that, the Simpson-Bowles Commission, which really first kind of brought this into the mainstream debt negotiations, it was talking about 2015 as a first year when this would go into play, with a total savings of $500 million. So that's really peanuts in the context of what they're talking about now in terms of savings. Over 10 years, that would be $5 billion. Again, seems like a lot to us, but that's really peanuts in the scheme of what they're talking about. But it's some savings, and obviously Congress is scrapping for anything they can get to cut that deficit.
Well, I just thought, too, when you were saying that, is how quickly things can change. At one point, the government used a high-five system, and the Congress switched them to a high-three, so it's not unprecedented. So it's possible that they would go back to the high five and say if they adopted the Simpson-Bowles proposal and said it will be effective in 2015, they could repeal that in between time if times were suddenly good again. You know, 2009 was arguably the best year federal postal and retired people have ever had on Capitol Hill. I mean, it looked like happy days are here again. And then the next year they're into pay freezes and all manner of things.
Well, given the size of the debt, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Not going to go away this time. Yeah. What would a huge increase in tax revenues, which is people have to be working before they can pay taxes?
Yeah, ultimately, it starts with jobs, and once jobs come back, I think a lot of the urgency and vitriol that we see is going to die down quite quickly, but. That's a long-term prospect. But, yes, ultimately, all the prognosis I've seen says that the recovery is going to take a good long time. And, once it does happen, then certainly more revenues come in, and we'll see some impact on the debt.
I was talking this morning on their show with Tom Timmon and Amy Morris on the Morning Drive show, and they were both saying that even though it's relatively small, the FAA furloughs, 4,000 nationwide, 1,016 in the Washington area, that'll also hit contractors. It will have a ripple effect, as Mike McDonald said, with some other federal agencies. So it could result in furloughs, a loss of job for an extended period when people aren't getting paid, and that for the first time could bring the real recession home to the Washington area.
That's true. There will be some, and we said before, the impact of this furlough is probably invisible on the traveling public. It won't be invisible to the construction business and the employees there. There are air towers going up all over the country that are funded by this program. Those are all on hold now. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars worth of projects, dozens across the country. I think Palm Springs is one, Biloxi, Mississippi, and a lot of towns that just can't afford more job losses.
Yeah, it really has a ripple effect. And we saw this when they thought they had a Cold War dividend and started shutting down military bases. There were some towns that existed primarily on those. And you know a town is in trouble when they're trying to get a prison a federal prison built in their city for, as an employer.
And all these, all this talk about furloughs and the problem with the FAA's budget, I'm concerned that it could be a, just a preview of what's to come this fall. Because remember, the fiscal 2012 budget is, you know, nominally supposed to be passed by the beginning of October. And even so, even if we get this debt ceiling mess resolved very quickly, what's going to happen when fiscal 11 ends and we have to go through this all over again?
Yeah, this is maybe the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, we're in the Groundhog Day.
Right now. This is this over and over again. Just got a couple of minutes left. What's the deal on buyouts? People keep saying, "When's it coming to my agency?"
Well, we had a patch a couple of weeks ago where we heard from the government printing office. We heard from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Education Department, several agencies that were either announcing buyouts or considering buyouts. We haven't heard quite so much lately, but so I can't really say when's it coming to your agency, but I would not be surprised if we do see more buyouts and intentions for buyouts and early retirements over the next couple of months, because 2012 budgets aren't going to be any, you know, more generous than they are now. It's going to be quite the opposite. So agencies are going to try to find a way to cut costs any way they can. It could mean buyouts.
Right, yeah, and you had Smithsonian portions of agriculture and portions of the Air Force, or at least considering it or actually doing it.
That's right. And let's be optimistic that there will be a debt ceiling deal.
Mm-hmm.
That deal is going to involve a lot of steep cuts to all agencies. And you can bet that as soon as those become known, we're going to see a lot more coming out after that.
Okay, so we don't want to be in the gloom and doom or pessimism business and not trying to frighten people, but it's not over for a long while yet.
That's right.
Okay. The people that I'm hearing most from about buyouts are the IRS. How likely is that? I mean, this is one of the few things Uncle Sam does that makes money. How likely are they to have a buyout in the IRS?
It's hard to say. One thing that people have told me is that watch the politically unpopular agencies for hints on who's going to be more likely to go to buyouts, because they're politically unpopular. Congress isn't going to want to give them any more money, because who likes the IRS?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, I mean, it's possible. I would not be surprised.
What about a place like Health and Human Services or EPA that in some circles are very unpopular, in the Department of Education?
Yeah, you know, the some conservatives have had it out for the EPA for a long time now. So I was not surprised when they announced they were considering it. Same with the EPA, and Health and Human Services has a lot of stuff to do with the healthcare reform bill passed the other year, which, you know, conservatives don't like any more than the education department. So yeah, we could see efforts to kind of completely defund, but slash the funding of those agencies, and they could result to buyouts to give themselves more breathing room.
You know what I'm thinking too? The Defense Department, they're talking about cuts in Afghanistan and or getting out of Afghanistan and whatnot, and prior to World War II, 1939, we had the 17th largest army in the world. Portugal had more troops because we had disarmed. Do you see that happening? We just got a couple of seconds here.
Yeah, there will definitely be cuts on the military side. They're already happening. We're going to see more. They're you know, using things like physical fitness training test to weed people out. So yeah, that tells you a little bit.
All right, the general. Thank you. We'll see you here next week. Thanks, Steve Watkins, Steve Losey from the Federal Times. Be sure and go to their webpage and see what they're tracking. And we'll be back here. Have a good week. Remember, we're archived, so you can catch us on the internet on our webpage anytime. And we had some good information today from the two Steves and the two Mikes. So have a good week. See you next Wednesday.